On a Sunday morning, the square in front of the Church of Saints Peter and Paul is silent. The massive Gothic cathedral towers over a gray concrete plaza. A car drives up onto the square and parks next to a large brick fountain. Many of the bricks are broken, and the fountain looks like it hasn't run in years. But it wasn't always like this. Tina Regan grew up in Providence and used to chair the Providence Historic District Commission. Regan pulls a large yellowed photograph out of her bag and traces the street pattern with her finger.
Here were two main streets, Westminster, Weybosset, that converged in front of the cathedral. The area moved up into the neighborhoods like spokes, and they were very connected. Weybosset Street was very busy. Doctors, dentists, department stores.
When the church was built in 1878, it lay at the heart of downtown Providence. Shops and businesses drew throngs of people from all over the city. After Mass on Sundays, hundreds of parishioners spilled out from the cathedral onto the cobblestone plaza. But after World War II, things changed. The dwindling textile industry and rising popularity of the automobile drew people out of the city and into the suburbs. Ned Connors was part of a team of historians and preservationists convened by the Rhode Island Historical Preservation and Heritage Commission to examine Providence's architecture from the 50s and 60s.
People couldn't get out of the city fast enough, and the businesses left, and the customers left, and what you were left with was just a shell of the old economic and residential life of this place.
Connor says it wasn't just Providence. All across the country, politicians and planners were facing a similar challenge. Take this 1964 video from Oklahoma City. The camera pans past honking cars and run-down apartment buildings with broken windows.
Our city's vitality depends upon eliminating the present malignant tumor now existing in downtown before it spread.
Planners in the 60s viewed their city's dwindling populations and crumbling 19th century buildings as a cancer that had to be stopped. City officials believed the cure was to tear down the old buildings and replace them with modern architecture. Providence chose an up-and-coming architect to design the new downtown, I.M. Pei, who would later win praise as one of the greatest architects of the 20th century. Pei's plan for Providence centered on a grand plaza outside the city's main Catholic cathedral. He later explained his interest in plazas in an interview at the National Gallery of Art.
Look through history. The Greeks have their agoras, and the Romans have their forum. All civilized people have great squares and piazzas. This is where the life is. That's a theater of life in which architecture has to perform its function.
They needed to create public space that could be programmed by people, used by people in any way that they wanted to.
Marissa Angel Brown, assistant director at Brown University's Center for the Public Humanities, specializes in mid-century modernist architecture. She says there were cultural and political reasons for architects like I.M. Pei to look to a time when the square was the center of public life.
It's a pretty nostalgic and sort of conservative archetype to go to in order to create a public space. You know, by kind of thinking about the piazza that was in some ways shutting the door on the chaos and the, you know, the race riots and all of the things that were actually happening in the cities at this point.
Fast forward from the late 60s to 1972. Cathedral Square is complete, and I.M. Pei arrives in Providence for a ribbon cutting. Providence planners hail the city's rebirth, but there's a problem, says historic preservation consultant Ned Connors.
None of it worked. Cathedral Square was dedicated in 1972. By 1974, the Providence Evening Bulletin and an article called it a conspicuous failure.
Part of the failure was that the city ran out of money before Pei's plan for a bustling commercial center could be completed. A new highway, Interstate 95, cut through the city, and a low-income housing development and office complex isolated the square. Architectural historian Marissa Angel Brown says the creation of a new square wasn't enough to revitalize the city center.
I'm not sure that success was really going to be possible for a lot of these spaces, given the rapidity of fleeing of the cities and out into the suburbs that was happening. The deck was stacked so far against spaces like this being able to really do anything.
Because of lacking community interest and funding, ambitious plans to redesign downtown got put on hold. But city blocks that once housed historic buildings had already been reduced to empty lots. Preservationist Tina Regan says downtown of today is almost unrecognizable from the downtown of her childhood.
The real sad part of developing the plaza was losing all these historic buildings. It is hard to look at this and say, how did they do that?
Providence planning director Bonnie Nickerson works in an office overlooking Cathedral Square. Nickerson says city officials have been brainstorming ways to bring the plaza back to life for almost 20 years.
There is definitely a lot of energy and interest in helping to make this public space more useful and more attractive universally.
Nickerson says the city has invested tens of thousands of dollars into rebuilding the cathedral steps and planting trees. She says food trucks and concerts might be another way to bring people back into the square.
It is truly a hidden gem in our city. It is a respite in the city. It's if you just squint your eyes a little bit, it's a grand European plaza in great cities around the world.
After an era of demolishing the old to make way for the new, cities are more reluctant to make sweeping changes. Nickerson says the basic design of Cathedral Square is not likely to change anytime soon. She hopes smaller measures will be enough to bring the plaza back to life. For Rhode Island Public Radio, I'm Sophie Kasikov.